Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone's having a fantastic Wednesday as we head into the holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. A lot to be thankful for. That's how I started the show in this crazy year of 2020. We've got a couple of NFL games tomorrow, not three, because the NFL, with the COVID situation with Ravens and Steelers have moved to Sunday. So we'll tell you the fallout from the entire NFL schedule with that. Usually on Fridays as we head into the football weekend, we talk to Doug Kazarian, who does great work for ESPN on TV, does a great podcast as well. He's been our guy to educate us as gambling has become legal in the state of Illinois here in the last year. And there's lots of opportunities for us and for you. Let's get his plays of the weekend right now as Doug joins us live from Vegas on the Corona Hotline. Doug, how you feeling today?
Doing well, my friend. I think you said it best in terms of still finding ways to give thanks to this holiday. It's obviously been a rough year for everyone, but it is, there are many things to be positive about. And I know you're flying solo today because Waddle too busy posting shirtless photos on Facebook.
Is he shirtless on Facebook?
Yeah, on the beach or something. Supposedly a picture of him and his dog, but we all know the real reason.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and his dog, and then he was walking his dog, right? You know how many golf club jokes we made yesterday? I mean, it was – wait, you talk about – Doug, so we're talking about the Greg Norman picture that's been posted. I've retweeted it a million times. Do you know, like, when you just get to peek guys like us in a picture of Greg Norman, just the idiotic jokes that happen?
Well, that comes with the territory. That's no surprise to anyone.
It's amazing. All right, so we have two NFL games tomorrow, and they're not great, but they're the same money-making opportunities is any. Let's talk about the first game. It's Texans and Lions. The Lions are a 3-point home dog. Texans playing a little bit better. What do you think here?
You know, it's tricky because we talk about situational handicapping all the time, right? Big game by the Texans last week, celebrating like they won the Super Bowl when they beat New England, and give them credit, right? It was a nice win for them. But you almost wonder about what we talk about as a flat spot, letdown spots. We hear that all the time, right? And if they play their best games, though, Houston blows them out, and even though we're going to probably see Galladay play for the Lions. But there's just what kind of confidence do you have that you're going to see Houston's best game? I don't know. And there's a great trend. Once a team gets shut out, like the Lions did last week in that Carolina, they bounce back in a great way, right? Like over the years, not that we have a lot of shutouts these days, but when we do, it's sort of like the team, they're competitive dudes. You don't get to the NFL without being a competitive guy. So you kind of get their best effort. Now, with that being said, I know a really sharp, better, one of the best in the world in terms of originator, they're called, kind of like early in the week they bet and help set the line, ultimately how it closes. But they're on the Texans. So if I can get +3, I would take probably the Lions +3, but that would be a force. You know, it is Thanksgiving. We got to get that action going in the morning. So if we had to play it, I would play it. By no means is it one of my favorite plays, though.
Are we going to over-evaluate the Cowboys, too? They're a 3-point favorite in the second game.
You know, that's what's interesting, right? So this team was 0-8 against the spread to start the year in their first 8 games. Just putrid, whether it was Dak, whether it was anyone, just not delivering for anyone who bet them. But now they've got back-to-back covers, including the outright win a week ago. And so how much stock do you put in? And I mean, there's a lot of weapons still there with Zeke and the receivers, right? But their quarterback play is obviously below average, and their defense is abysmal. So I would actually grab Washington and the points there. Not that I love Alex Smith. He is captain checkdown. But he's playing a little bit better than I thought he would once he had to replace Kyle Allen at the injury. And for what it's worth, this is kind of fun. Dallas has not covered 8 of its last 9 Thanksgiving games. So
wow.
I do like Washington because of the defense, and they have enough offense, I think, to get there.
So that's a like. That's not like you're not over the top.
Oh, yeah.
But you do like very that nice game.
I think so. I think if I'm going to have to get involved on anything on Thanksgiving, and to your point, we're relegated to 2 games, not 3, I would do Washington +3.
So the Ravens and Steelers will be Sunday. And the one point that you made last week, and I think it was a good one too, because I stayed away from it, but I still have to make picks in the Chicago Sun-Times, which I'm terrible at. I still picked the Ravens last week. You could, like, you're just done with them, aren't you? Are you done, and especially now with the unpredictability of their schedule coming up?
Yeah, I'm totally done with them. I just think, you know, their window's closed a little bit. I think the secret's a little bit out with the Lamar Jackson, how to stop it. But don't forget, they lost Ronnie Stanley a couple weeks ago, one of their stud offensive linemen. And then they had another offensive lineman who retired in the offseason who's a stud. So when you lose that, it kind of compounds the issues if you're having any on the offense. You just can't replace those guys right away. And Lamar Jackson has not been as accurate throwing the ball down the field as he was last year. And they're just not trucking opponents. So at this point, they've lost every big game, so to speak, and they're not covering like they were last year. So I liked Pittsburgh -4. Now, the line started to go up to 5, 5.5. I couldn't get involved, but we'll see what happens Sunday if there's going to be some players that we're not going to play tomorrow but that are now cleared to play Sunday. We're going to have probably a reposting of the point spread for Sunday.
All right, Doug Kazarian joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Let's go to Sunday Night Football. The Bears, I believe, have lost 6 straight games coming off the bye. You know, and everything is pointing just bad about them. They're bad off the bye. They're bad against the Packers. They're 3-17 against Green Bay in the last 20. So here are the Packers at home. They're coming off that really tough loss against the Colts. It's a big number, though, for a rivalry at 8.5. What are you thinking on this one?
I think this has teaser written all over, and I think you have to lay it now. I think to get it at 2.5 as opposed to the line moving to 9. So, like, when you look at a regular game, just, you know, 8.5 and 9, there's no real difference, right? Those aren't key numbers. But that's a huge difference when you talk about a teaser. So if you're going to do it, I'd lock it in now. Matt LaFleur, I mean, for what it's worth, he's only covered 1 of 4 times when he's favored by 7 or more. This Packers defense obviously isn't that great, but the O-line for Chicago is just putrid. We've seen this team just be pathetic. Lost at home to Monday night. We know about the Vikings. You mentioned the off-the-bye records. Packers, for whatever it's worth, Aaron Rodgers just kind of understands the Chicago defense, does not get smothered. And by the way, they've not only lost 6 straight after a bye, the Bears have also not covered any of those 6 losses. So maybe that's coaching. Maybe it's just coincidence. Who knows? But Packers are pass on the spread, but I think a teaser is a strong play here, and you can bring it down to -2.5. I mean, the Packers are in kind of like win now mode. They can't afford another loss. I really like that sort of situational spot.
And whoever plays the quarterback position does not affect the line in the least, right?
For the Bears, no, it does not. I mean, obviously, if they were relegated to a third or fourth stringer, but the difference between Trubisky and Foles is inconsequential. But I think Once you go to a third stringer, it's probably going to hurt the line a little bit. I mean, it's all about the delta, the difference between the starter and the backup. So obviously, who the starter is that's out is obviously important. It has to be. But the backup is also a large variable in this. So, like, when Patrick Mahomes went down last year for a few games, their backup, Matt Moore, was above average for a backup sort of standard. So it wasn't as big of a drop-off. Now, back in the day when Eli, his backup was the guy from Northwestern. I'm forgetting his name. But that was actually, according to one odds maker, the biggest difference from a starter to a backup because their backup was so inferior, right? So it just depends who it is. But when you're talking about Foles and Trubisky, it's inconsequential.
Any other games on the NFL slate? Look, like Cap was saying, I'll give you one, and then you can give me some that are on your mind. Cap was saying this morning, because of Mike Lennon starting in Jacksonville, that they're bad enough, and the Browns are a 6.5-point favorite on the road in Jayville, that he says he would pound Cleveland. Do you agree?
Let's be careful. Let's remember who Cleveland is, right? Like, okay, they got a couple nice wins, but they're still the Cleveland Browns. They still torment their fan bases. Let's just be careful. I would say be careful. I'm not willing to lay 7. Glennon, I mean, you guys know him from Chicago, right? Is he that bad? Is he that much better than Luton or Luton? I just don't know if I can lay 7 on the road with Baker Mayfield and those guys. I'm not that eager to do it. I'm not grabbing 7 in Jacksonville, but this is a Jaguars team that, you know, was pretty competitive and almost beat the Packers at Lambeau a couple weeks ago. So, yes, they looked horrible against the Steelers, but a week before that, they were pretty confident. So I just don't know if I trust Cleveland yet to lay 7. Laying points in the road is really tough in the NFL. With that being said, I do have the Giants circled. Given that Joe Burrow's out, I think the Bengals are going to go into a tailspin. I think I'd have to put them in a teaser. I don't know if I'd be ready to lay 6 with the Giants, but I think a teaser option's pretty interesting. I think they're actually playing probably the best football in that NFC East division, which is not saying a whole lot, but, you know, something to consider. And I think they might win the division. So I kind of like them. I think Miami gets back on track. It was just a tough ask to go to the Mile High City and compete like that. They've been riding 5 straight. I think they get back on track against this Jets team, which is pretty bad. I know they had a backdoor cover against the Chargers last week, but that's all because Anthony Lynn didn't go for it on 4th-and-1 around the 12-yard line. Instead, he kicked the field goal and kept it 15, so they kept the Jets within a cover. They could have easily not covered that 9. I'm interested in the flat spots we talk about. So the Rams off a big high, the big win on Sunday night. I wonder if the Niners' first quarter is the play, right? They're well coached, all that stuff buttoned up. I think the Rams could come out sluggish, to be honest. And it's hard not to like Seattle. -5 at Philly. Eagles are a dumpster fire. Yeah. I can't bet on them. Wentz is too careless with the ball and reckless. They've failed to cover 3 of their last 4. The only time they did cover was that ridiculous ending in Dallas, the scoop and score off the mosh pit, and the ref didn't blow the whistle for some reason. So they've really been just a ridiculous team. They should only have 2 covers this entire year. So I've been very unimpressed with the Eagles, and one of those covers was a backdoor against Pittsburgh. They got the favorable whistle, should not even have done that. I've been pretty just disappointed across the board with this Eagles team. The only good game they played was at San Francisco, but even then they got bailed out with bad quarterback play. So they just constantly not delivered. So I would like the Seahawks to get that win, maybe tease them with the Packers.
A couple of quick hitters here real quick, Doug. Notre Dame is a 5-point favorite on Friday coming off their bye against North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm really strong on the over here. Notre Dame, we learned against Clemson, has a legit offense. This is not the Manti Te'o Notre Dame team that got blown out by Alabama in the national championship game. They have some dudes on offense, like the tight ends, the receivers. They can put up points. And this UNC team will give up points and will score them. They have a two-headed backfield at running back, solid quarterback. I like this UNC team a lot, but they just don't play enough defense. I think this is going to be a track meet. Over-under in the high 60s-ish, I'd go over in that game. I like that a lot.
What about the Iron Bowl without their head coach at Bama?
Well, that changes things. I liked Bama, and I was laying the 24 in that game. I mean, the last 5 – so Saban has lost the Iron Bowl 5 times. The previous 4, the next year they win convincingly. They're 4-0 against the spread. And the 3 other times he's been laying 20 in the Iron Bowl, 20 or more – he's covered all 3. So basically, when they're supposed to blow him out, they blow him out. So I would lean there, but I do think Saban is a tactician. I do think Malzahn's going to have some eye candy and moving parts for the Tigers. So I'd probably pass, but it's Bama or pass for me. There's no way I'm grabbing the points with Bo Nix and a team that I thought he would develop better. I thought Malzahn should have done a better job developing Bo Nix because I think he had the promise, you know, the promise of being a solid quarterback. And I just don't think he took the necessary steps in the offseason and this season. So a little disappointed with the Tigers. It was sort of a phony cover last week against Tennessee. I think Bama could roll, but that's maybe just because I took +30 last week with Kentucky and I lost by 60.
And finally, are you partaking in any college hoops or is it just too early and too unpredictable?
No, I'm involved. I have some futures. I have Memphis at 75-1. There was actually 100-1 out there. I've definitely like connected with some sharper guys in college hoops. I'm sort of like almost outsourcing it and aggregating their plays. Pepperdine -3 tonight. I'm hearing some good stuff. The under in the Nevada game as well. That total's moved down a few points with North Dakota, but still the under's probably a solid play there. Those are the 2 that jump out to me, again, according to people I really respect, not my handicapping. And then Sparty is coming up in a couple hours. They should wax. They should roll big over Eastern Michigan. So I like Michigan State to cover. That's one I've talked to some people where I think that could be a really good one.
Do you see how much more we cover when we don't have Waddle telling us about his great playing days? You see this? When he's not getting involved, talking about Harbaugh?
I do ask him about his thoughts.
Doug, you're the best. Thank you and have a happy Thanksgiving, okay?
Same to you, my friend, and same to everyone listening. Be safe out there.
There you go. Doug Kazarian does great work for ESPN. He's their gambling insider. He's in Vegas right now. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. And we covered everything. We covered the NFL. We covered college football. We covered college hoops. Matt Nagy is going to meet the media. We'll tell you what he has to say about the quarterback situation. We've got Waddle's World, and JD will have a Bears report at 4 o'clock.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, we're another day closer to Mitch Trubisky making his, quote, triumphant return as the Bears' starting quarterback. Nothing from Matt Nagy as far as proclaiming who will be the starter. JD's going to have more on this. Let me give you the info, though, that they did give out. So Nick Foles did not practice today. He was a non-participant with a hip injury, while Trubisky, even though he had that shoulder injury, fully participated. Remember, you could be out, you could be limited participation, or you could be a full participant, and he was full participant. In addition to Foles being out, Akeem Hicks also missed practice today with that hamstring injury. Jimmy Graham had a Veterans Day off. Danny Trevathan had a personal day today. And according to JD, Bears coach Matt Nagy calls Nick Foles day-to-day, but does not rule out Foles for Sunday. Nagy is not ready to announce the starting quarterback for the Green Bay game. But again, Trubisky took all the reps Wednesday's practice. Nagy says he's, quote, very impressed with how Mitchell Trubisky has grown week to week.
Oh, boy. Here we go again. By the way, that injury report brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. There is no need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu.
Let me continue to laugh at this, because the problem with Trubisky hasn't been his growth. Like, he's tried to learn. It's never been about growing off the field or growing on the sideline or maybe even growing in the film room, though I'm not there. But Mitch has always been a hard worker and a good leader. It's just when he gets in between the field, those sidelines, and then he tries to process and he's all the tools. He's a good athlete. He's got a good arm. But it just doesn't come together like it should be for a top-rated quarterback coming out of college. So Nagy says he'd have, quote, all the confidence in the world if Trubisky ends up starting for the Packers. I think this is their saving grace. Tyler, Waddle has been wanting to see this happen for a couple of weeks, not because he thinks Trubisky's going to save anything, just because maybe there are a few more possibilities. Maybe this forces Nagy to keep it a little more simpler with running the football. But I think this is Nagy's saving grace, where Foles is still, it appears, banged up. He's not practicing today. So it doesn't make you look bad, where even though you've looked bad week in and week out and you fired yourself as play caller, but it doesn't make you look bad like you're benching the quarterback who was all of your guys. He was your guy in Kansas City. He was Lasers guy in Philly. He was Flip guy in Philly and in Jacksonville. He was Castillo's guy. He's been Ragone's guy. They've got all the fighting Nagy's on the sideline who wanted to go with Foles. They don't have to look bad and say Foles is being benched. They could say, you know, his hip is still not where it needs to be, where he could protect himself in that pocket. So we're going to go to Mitch. So I think this is a save for Matt Nagy, and I think they're going to lean on the injury, and Trubisky will be the starter. Do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree with you. The way that I look at the conversation of, do you go to Mitch, do you go back to Foles, or do you go back to Mitch, or do you continue with Foles, is this. Do you value the deep ball, or do you value a mobile quarterback who can maybe escape out of certain situations where you're going to see that pocket collapse very quickly? Listen, Foles isn't great at the deep ball. But he's a hell of a lot better than what we've seen out of Mitchell Trubisky throughout his entire Bears career. And then on the flip side, Nick Foles is going to be a statue in that pocket for you. You're going to see that pocket collapse a lot, and you're probably going to see it. You're going to face a couple of solid defensive lines over the next couple of weeks. What do you value there? And it looks like the way that everything's trending, it looks like they might value them being able to move outside the pocket and get Mitch running and try to pick up first downs that way.
Yeah, it's been bad and boring with Foles. Just if Foles would have done better with a better team who could protect him and with a better play, I don't know. I mean, he is probably one of the hardest athletes we've ever had to figure out, Nick Foles.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
It's what was written on ESPN.com by our good friend Wayne Dres a week or two ago. It is the curious case of Nick Foles. It is just up and down. Never has there been a quarterback with this amount of lows who has reached the height of him being an MVP, of him being a 27 touchdown and 2-interception guy in that Chip Kelly year. It's just absolutely crazy, and he continues to be a journeyman. Let me ask you a question. And I was trying to think of this. It's a would you rather. Mike Lennon starting in Jacksonville. Would you rather give Mike Lennon $18 million to start 4 games, or would you rather trade a 4th-round pick and give Nick Foles $7 million a year to start? How many games has he started? 5 or 6?
I think, yeah, 5 now.
5, and to be your backup.
In that situation, I'd probably rather sign Mike Glennon, knowing that you could cut him for minimal damage the year after that. And this is a broken offensive line. This is broken in a lot of places offensively. I'd much rather value that 4th-round pick, because who knows what that's going to turn out to be. And Ryan Pace has actually had success later in the draft at certain points.
It's
so
why I like you, Tyler. You're a smart guy.
Thank you.
Like again, people don't understand. You just can't keep, whether it was a compensatory pick or not. Like, to do nothing, to go nowhere, to get no better on where you are and giving up more draft capital for it. When I don't care what you thought of Jameis Winston. Don't care. I don't care that you hated that he threw 30 interceptions. Don't care, in the words of Jay Cutler. Don't care if you think that Cam Newton, you know, well, he was injured, he was banged up, he had a foot, he had a shoulder. Don't care. But none of those guys costed you a draft pick. Don't care what you think about Andy Dalton. But when you're buying low and you don't have to give up draft capital for a guy to just keep the, you know, keep you floating, to try to keep the rig on the road, like, this is another, in my world, catastrophe. I'd much rather overpay for 1 year and 4 games of Mike Lennon than, again, give up another important draft pick that could be another Eddie Jackson, could be another running back. It could be another offensive lineman to develop. It could be another quarterback. It's where Dak Prescott was drafted, damn it. Like, instead of giving away those for a guy who brought you nothing, I'd rather take a risk on a buy-low candidate that you still think sucks than just, well, let's give up a 4th because we know him. We know him. And it's just another bad play by the Bears.
So the guy I wanted in the offseason, in terms of those buy-low candidates, I wanted Jameis Winston. Because think about it from this lens. If you have a guy out there that you know can throw for 30 touchdowns, know that can throw for 30 touchdowns.
5,000 yards.
Exactly. If you have a guy with that sort of arm, can't you, with this level of defense, almost not live with the 30 interceptions, but
you want to try and neuter him, right?
Right, exactly.
And rein him in like Gase tried to rein in Cutler.
Well, I guess in a sense, like, you've got that defense that, okay, maybe he's going to throw an interception, but they can hold to 3. Meanwhile, you know that you can still go get 7 on the other end, which with these other quarterbacks that they've experimented with, you know that's not the case. They can't go get 7.
It's interesting, Tyler, because in the offense that Tom Brady's running that Winston ran last year, sort of the same thing, except Brady's picking more of his picks. But it's Bruce Arians' risk it offense. Brady has now matched his interception total of all of last year. He is 8. It's not near 30, but the GOAT, the greatest of all time, is still throwing a high amount of interceptions. So again, my guy was Cam. Like, I just thought, for whatever the case of a million or two or three, like I didn't know if you'd get them for a million like New England got them, but if you wanted to reach out for 2.5 or 3 million and not giving up the pick was always the case. A former MVP. And I'm always going to stick with it, that not giving up draft capital when you have a team in too many holes in your offense as it is, you can't afford to kick the can down the road with giving up all these draft picks. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. No declaration on the quarterback, but Trubisky was a full participant, and Nick Foles did not participate today because he was out with that hip injury. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. JD will join us at 4. We'll have some fun inside Waddle's World next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports picks. Look at the aerobics in there. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da.
Waddle's World brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's bank. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC.
You weren't born in 1997, were you?
I was
born in 97. You were born in 97.
I am a 97 baby. Yep.
90. When were you born?
March 28th.
Our perfect timing for the start of the 0-13 Cubs season. Because that song in Waddle's World, I've told Waddle this, that song every time the Cubs would win, you would get a Mark Gray smoking a heater in the corner of the Cubs clubhouse and them all enjoying the wind. Tyler Houston would be in there too. That really, really bad Cubs team celebrating their 70-win season or whatever it was in the 1997 campaign.
You know,
you were born that year.
Yep, that's Montel Jordan, right?
Yes, and so, I was covering that team.
So I was at a Bucks-Clippers game this past season, back when we could go to games, and he was the halftime show. He just stretched that song out for 7 minutes.
Sure.
And
give the people what they want.
Exactly, exactly.
Why play, like, something new that no one knows or, you know, some other random, that's what you're known for. Play it.
Yep, got to spin the hits.
You got to.
All right.
How was the arena? Did you love the arena there?
Oh, it's beautiful.
I wanted to check it out.
It's beautiful. So I went with my buddy who went to Marquette, and Marquette plays there for all their regular season games. And so he kind of knew the ins and outs, and he worked in the athletic department, so he knew all the hidden spots in the arena and stuff like that. So he was showing me around it, and it is beautiful. They did an amazing job with that place.
I can't wait till, like, again, we can go to a game on a whim when we're just like, you know, we're going to have to now really plan once they open things back up when the vaccines are out, whether it's in the summer, whenever that is, when people are allowed back indoors. But, like, just the – you took it all for granted. I was talking to Weeder yesterday about this. Like, just going out for, you know, to the bar with your buddy or going out for dinner with a buddy on a whim. Like, going to a game on a whim. Hey, let's drive up, short drive to Milwaukee. Let's go check out the Bucks and Clippers.
What?
Like, can't wait to do that again.
Yeah, what we like to do sometimes is every once in a while we'll be looking and be like, okay, it's not that far of a drive to St. Louis. Like, I remember, what, like 2 years ago, my buddies and I, last second, Sunday morning, we decided we're going to go see Cubs Cardinals for Sunday Night Baseball. We went down to St. Louis, had a great time.
That is awesome.
That's a lot of fun.
We did that. So 1 year when we were in camp, this is how old I am, Tyler, compared to you. I was a day camp counselor. And me and a bunch of buddies wanted to go see this really big game at County Stadium in Milwaukee. And there was a certain pitcher on the mound going for his 300th victory against the Brewers. This is back when the Brewers were in the American League. And it was Nolan Ryan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He was with the Rangers, and we spent $4 at the ticket window, and we all got bleacher seats, and we sat in the bleachers in County Stadium, and we got to see history because Nolan Ryan, we were cheering. The only day I've ever cheered for the Texas Rangers in person is when Nolan Ryan beat the Brewers for his 300th win.
That's awesome.
On a whim.
Yep. It's those trips, you always hear about it. There's someone who's about to go to a game, and then it ends up being a no-hitter.
That's what you do when you're young. Yes.
Exactly.
You go on a whim.
Exactly.
Wait for those days again.
All right. Getting into some of the news from today, the NFL has moved the Ravens-Steelers game to Sunday after more positive COVID-19 tests, and I just saw this come across. It's going to be a 12:15 start Central time, so it's a little staggered from your usual start time, but it's on NBC, and you can see it across the country. So I think for some markets, you're going to be getting three NFL games at once. Which is something you don't usually do when you've just got your standard packages of like satellite TV there. So,
have you ever wanted to see the games at noon get staggered a little bit so the endings, or do you like that all the games end at the same time and it's fast and furious and that's what makes the red zone so great?
Oh, I actually just read an article. Richard Deitch did a mailbag, I think not too long ago, and they brought this topic up, and basically the NFL just wants all these games lined up this way. And to be honest, I kind of like it. It works perfectly for red zone, so I don't mind having... Now, I would maybe like a little more of a split between the noon and the threes, but I don't mind having the all the games be starting at noon as opposed to noon,
right?
12:30, 12:45.
Because there's
stuff
some
like
hot
that.
Garbage games that you just don't care about or don't go down.
Right, exactly. Exactly. The NBA has canceled the All-Star game for the upcoming season, and the game in Indianapolis has been rescheduled for 2024.
One of the last normal weekends I had was All-Star weekend here in Chicago. That was when we were getting down to, you know, I was at First Take. My
right.
wife worked
mm-hmm.
at the United Center, and then just a few weeks later, everything stopped.
Amazing. Diego Maradona, the legendary soccer player, has died at the age of 60. He was a World Cup winner, and he was recently hospitalized and underwent brain surgery. Won the 86 World Cup with Argentina.
Was that a 30 for 30?
You know, now that
I
you say
recently,
that, yes, that sounds
one.
Familiar. Mm-hmm.
I just saw it recently. It was a doc, or it was the 30 for 30, and it was like,
I believe
I don't
it was a 30 for 30.
Maradona.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know much. Like, those are the ones I like the most, because sometimes when you know the story so well, it's not as good. But when you don't know these stories, the Maradona story was fascinating to me.
Yeah, those are the 30 for 30s I like, too. And it's kind of nice for me being younger, because a lot of the 30 for 30s that come out, I don't understand the context of the time period and all that stuff. Like, one of my favorite ones is the Bad Boy Piston ones, because I didn't understand necessarily all of it. Now, it kind of sucks as a Bulls fan, because it cuts it off right before the... right before the Bulls kind of get good and go on their run, but I guess that's what The Last Dance is for.
Right, and the thing about it is it brought back so many emotions for me. Like, one of my favorite 30 for 30, that's one of the few that I knew well and I lived through, but I loved. And the reason I loved it, even though I hated those Pistons, it just brought back so many memories in those days of the Bulls' climbing years. I always tell fans, like the Sox fans, enjoy this when your team is young and likable before they hit the mountaintop, because things can always get worse. And those climbing years for Michael, even though they ended in defeat to the Pistons, were still some of my favorite years as a sports fan.
Absolutely. And last one I got for you here, Alabama head coach Nick Saban tested positive for COVID-19 and will miss the Iron Bowl this weekend.
I'm surprised we didn't get an Abdallah sounding of the alarm today, because first it was weird. I was listening to Carmen and Yurko when they got the news. Were you on all the shows today?
I wasn't really on Carmen and Yurko today, just Cap and then this one today.
So I heard the breaking news sounder, which still scares the hell out of me, whether I'm doing the show or I'm listening to the show. And I went one of the few trips I went out of the house for today to go to the chiropractor. And I was driving home and I heard it sound. And Merck announces that Saban's got COVID. And I hear the guys, didn't he have it all
right?
Like,
right,
he just
yeah.
had it, but I guess it was a false.
It was a
positive.
False, yeah. Because remember, he ended up coaching in that Georgia game. Like, he had a test at like 9 p.m. the night before, and then two right before that game, and he's lucky that it was a 7 o'clock game, so he was able to coach that night.
We thought they were just doing some Alabama tricks to get Saban back in the game, but he is symptomatic now, and since he's symptomatic, even though the symptoms are minor, now he's got to really follow the protocol.
All right, coming up next, I've got the nuttiest story of the day, and we've also got a little giveaway to tease for you as well.
The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by ComEd. Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we continue inside Waddle's world. Tyler Aki's with me today. I believe Gleck and Abdallah are on tonight.
Yep.
Abdallah's been Abdallah's been off from producing all week, but doing great work at night like they always do, 6 to 8. So you'll get your usual fun with Gleck and Abdallah. And I did check in one moment inside the Twitch channel, but I've not mentioned it on the air yet. Don't forget, our brand new Twitch channel is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen Sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. We got producer Cam going. You can see Tyler behind the screens. You may need a stepladder or something to show your whole face, Tyler. I could see you right now, but check it out at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And Waddle is off today. He'll be back. There's the wave. And Waddle will be back on Monday. So what do we got for the nuttiest story of the day?
All right, let's get nutty. The nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
All right, spirit animal here. We've got a Minnesota squirrel who got drunk after eating fermented pears. The squirrel was seen swaying in a video after a woman put out old pears from her fridge in her garden for wildlife to eat. A squirrel in Minnesota has enjoyed an early and especially festive start to the holiday season by being videoed apparently drunkenly feasting on pears that had fermented and become alcoholic. The inebriated squirrel was caught swaying on camera by Katie Morlock of Inver Grove Heights, Minnesota, who had put out an old pear from her fridge in her garden for local wildlife to eat. She saw one of the squirrels, whom she dubbed Lil Red, snatch the pear and take it up a tree. And an hour later, Lil Red returned, apparently the worse for wear, unsteady on its feet, but desperate for another round, and just caught the squirrel swaying back and forth, drunk off of some pears.
Yeah, you know, the squirrel people are weird. We talked about it earlier in the week. I think it was Monday Waddle had the story about, I forget which former rock star was doing this. One guy allowed squirrels into his Venice Beach house, and the squirrels were living inside the house, and then he got fleas, and the flea bites were all over, including downstairs. But, like, these people, there was a kid on my block when I was younger, I forget if I shared this on Monday, who was one with the squirrels as well. Like, they don't scare me like when they're just,
they freak me out. Yeah.
They don't freak me out, but I don't want to become friends with them. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, you can picture them with their claws, like grabbing onto your head or grabbing onto your arm. They could have rabies, you know, who knows? And this kid back in the day in Skokie would feed them. And then he became one with the squirrels where he would pet them and stuff. These people freak me out.
Yeah, don't be friends with those people. I've never been one to like befriend animals. I know there's certain people out there that are like that, but squirrels, rodents, I can't do either of those.
Not the wild animals, at least. You know, right? You want
right?
A dog,
it's different with like a dog. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Totally different.
Have a cat.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get like any of the rodent animals for my kids. That will not be allowed in my house.
Oh, yeah. No hamsters, no gerbils,
no,
none of that. Because then they get out of the cage, too.
Yeah,
and
what's
then
the point of them? Why? I mean, just to watch them
and their little wheel.
Bit of water. Oh, look at them. They're on the wheel. Oh, look at them. They're having a little
bit
little of water.
The little gerbil ball, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, big deal.
Freaks me out, too.
Rather have some fun fish.
Yeah.
But yeah, becoming friends with them, and Yurko told the story the other day about, you know, the people are feeding people are so bored these days that people are feeding raccoons, and now the raccoons think they have the run of the place. Like on the lakefront, they took over in Lincoln Park at one area. Stop feeding these wild animals.
I remember early in the pandemic, people were buying chickens, like buying chickens as pets. In New York City, they were buying chickens as pets. I think that's an old
Wild World. So this isn't for the eggs or anything?
No. This was just people are bored. They have some space. And what do you do? You buy some chickens.
That's awful.
Are your kids, what age are your kids going to be getting video game systems, do you think?
It's a great question because I'm not sure because I still think some of my friends who have a 6.5 year old like I do, that's my oldest, have the video games, and I love video games too. So I don't want to become addicted again, and I don't want him to become addicted. They're already addicted to the phones. They have too much screen time as it is. I mean, they're learning on the screens. Do you know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah.
I want them to draw. I want them to play on their off time. The last thing I want them to do is go from screen to screen. So I'm holding off on the video game system for now.
All right, well, the big craze these days, the Sony PS5, but their supply is getting worse as Amazon customers have supposedly been getting frying pans in the mail instead of the new console.
Oh, that's a good scare.
I don't know if you heard, JR actually scored one of these PS5s, and so he's going to be picking it up on Black Friday.
Yes.
So he's looking forward to that, and I'm sure so is his kid. His teenager is also looking forward to
like
that.
People will be able to get, eventually, the PS5.
Eventually, it'll become more commonplace, but it's one of those slow releases.
Where people are, I never understood that, back, again, I'm dating myself, the Cabbage Patch Kid, or whatever, the Tickle Me Elmo. Like, the people who overpay and fight over these things so they can get them.
Yeah, Air Jordans, too. It's the same thing.
Just say to your kid or whoever you're buying it for, look, we'll get it when we'll get it. Consider it done. But we're not going to fight for it. We're not going to overpay for it on some black market. We're going to get it when we can get it. Why must you have it now?
Totally agree.
Patience is a good lesson.
Yes, and it's nice to get a little side cash, too, with it by selling it. Want to play a quick game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
So this is just a one-man game, and of course, listeners playing at home.
Of course, and a Twitch chat. They love Florida or Ohio. All right.
I'll monitor this.
Man arrested after strapping downed light pole to car roof on the highway. A man who strapped a light pole to the roof of his car on the highway was arrested on charges of grand theft, authorities said. Douglas Hatley, 71 years old, was pulled over on a highway on Monday after another driver reported that a maroon Toyota Camry was hauling a metal pole. Nearly double the length of the car on its roof. Hatley said he found the pole on the ground by the side of the highway and wanted to sell the metal for scrap, according to troopers. And I ask you, did this happen in Florida or Ohio?
All right, so this is a light pole strapped on top of a Toyota Camry?
Yep, going down the highway.
I'm going to say Mentor, Ohio, home of one Mitch Trubisky.
Well, Mr. Trubisky was not the one manning this Toyota Camry. Douglas Allen Hatley was pulled over in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Oh, that's one of the home office sites for Florida or Ohio. There you go. A lot of people got that right. A lot of people guessed it right. Art, you got it right. A few other people. There were a couple Ohio. Carolina Bear fan had Ohio. But it was Florida. So check that out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check out JD in 2 short minutes. He'll give you more information on why it's looking a little bit more like it's time to go back to Trubisky.